Funny enough, I'm now actually coaching my mother on having challenging conversations. So you don't need someone else to like you. You already think you're a delightful person. When you treat it as a discovery instead of a performance, you can get to a lot juicier topics. And so being able to get to that discovery phase is so beautiful. And I've found that it's very disarming for them. Like people tend to put down their defenses when you're truly curious about them. It's a marathon, not a sprint. This is something that you would just have to slowly pace yourself through, or you will burn yourself out. And instead of thinking about it as perfection, think about it as I'm trying to make progress. I set good enough goals. So how would this look easy? How could this be fun? And set those as my goals instead of these unachievable, perfect goals.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another episode with another amazing guest and topic, a very unique one for today's episode. Before delving into that, just want to let you guys know we did start our Premium Supporters Program. So if you're passionate about personal and professional development, and if you want to check out some premium contents on those, feel free to visit www.activeaction.fm/support and you can get started for free. Apart from that, we did start our online merch project as well. So if you're looking into high quality clothing lines, bags, goodies, and those kind of stuffs, feel free to visit www.activeaction.shop. Apart from that, let's just delve into our video. So today we have our wonderful guest, Kat Jovi, with us. And our topic for today's podcast is overcoming people pleasing for authentic communication, a thing that often we may go through. So this is a very timely topic, and I'm very appreciative of having Kat with us so that we can discuss on this topic and get to learn a bit about that. But prior to that, I just wanted to ask Kat, how are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful. I mean, I'm here with you. We're going to discuss one of my favorite topics. How could I not be great?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kat. So dear audiences, before delving into the podcast, I just wanted to let you guys know a bit about our esteemed guest, Kat Jovi. So Kat Jovi is a speaker, a thought partner, and workshop facilitator who empowers the driven individuals to overcome people-pleasing tendencies and navigate difficult conversations with confidence. Through her expertise in communication strategy and mindset mastery, she helps people gain the respect and growth they have always wanted, both personally and professionally. Known for her engaging style and practical insights, she specializes in helping high achievers build authentic relationships, tackle tough challenges, and thrive in every aspect of life. A very challenging task indeed, Kat, because you have to work with people and you have to train kind of their mindset. So I understand how challenging that can be. So you have specialized into people pleasing and communication. So can I ask you a bit about your journey? What actually led you to specializing in people pleasing and communication challenges?
Sure. So I think people generally teach best by having gone through it. And I come from a long line of people pleasers and a long line of people who would rather avoid a conversation at all costs than be even slightly uncomfortable. And so it's something that I've just had to learn to do myself. And funny enough, I'm now actually coaching my mother on having challenging conversations.
Well, yeah, Everyone
needs that. Well, in life, you're going to have them, whether it's personal or professional. They're going to come up. So having some tools to do that and having a bit of comfort with it, knowing that you can handle yourself in that conversation can go such a long way. And I think some people, maybe they grow up in families where there is lots of open conversation and good communication. I had to learn by trial and error and have some conversations go very poorly or have experiences that didn't go well in my relationships to realize that it was a skill I needed to work on. So now I help other people hopefully get to that point sooner than it took for me to get there.
Oh, that's wonderful to know. And thank you so much for sharing that background, context, and journey.
Of course.
Why you passionately started this. So when you're doing your work, what patterns have you seen in the high achieving perfectionist from your experience that makes communication so challenging?
Yeah, I think when you are a perfectionist like that, you tend to overthink every word. You think that there is a perfect way to say it. And let's be honest, as humans, there's no perfect. There's no exact way to say things, but you can get into this paralysis or you avoid that conversation because of it. You waste time, you delay things. And I think also when you have that mentality of I need to be perfect, you avoid being vulnerable. You don't ask questions. You don't present your ideas. You don't give feedback because you just want to appear like you know everything. And and that just, it doesn't work well for people. I think you also, and this is something I'm still continuing to work on, you use softening language a lot. So I think, I'm sorry, but instead of presenting from a confident place. And so that can make you look a little uncertain. Have you struggled with any of those things?
So whenever I'm talking to someone who is a perfectionist, I tend to be a bit conscious of what I'm saying. And that self-conscious just comes into me automatically. So that if I try not to make an error, that sometimes makes the communication a bit challenging though, but we do have to be careful.
Yeah. And I like what you said that when someone else is being a perfectionist, it affects you. And it's true because it's even if they don't say it, and so you can sense there isn't that authenticity there. And then it makes you feel, I guess I better make sure I'm being perfect too. And it ends up conversation can't be as real as you'd like it to be then.
Yeah, indeed. 100% agree with you. So we are actually talking about people pleasing, overcoming that issue. So before that, I want to understand people pleasing in communication. So what are the common signs of people pleasing from your experience and why is this so prevalent?
Sure. For me, I've boiled it down to about 6 different ways that it sort of appears. And you may only have 1 or 2. I personally had all 6 of them. So this is why I have a whole list. But 1, huge difficulty saying no, you're worried you're going to offend people. 2, over apologizing, saying sorry when it's really not needed or necessary. 3, avoiding conflict. You just avoid any kind of potential challenging conversation. 4, you downplay your needs. So you're never letting people know what you need, just thinking about other people's. And then overinvesting in other people's approval. So you're constantly looking for that external validation instead of feeling that you're great on your own. And then the last one, I think, is people, you're sort of, like we just talked about, you're constantly monitoring other people and trying to figure out, how am I being perceived right now? And doing all of that can be exhausting. And again, not allow you to be your authentic self. And I think that's prevalent because most people pleasers, we start young. When we're young, we may have a lovely upbringing. We may have delightful parents. I think my parents were wonderful, but I was rewarded if I was good or helpful or easygoing. And so then that starts to falsely tell me that's the only path to being liked. I have to be good and perfect and make sure that everyone is happy. And it felt like that was safer than being honest because you fear that rejection or you fear confrontation. And if you're controlling all those things, you have that illusion of control. But again, you're not being authentic.
Right. And can I ask you a follow-up question? Why do you feel people have these tendencies? I know this actually varies from people to people and everyone's mind is different, but why do you feel a reason people, they have this tendency to please others? Is this kind of, as you mentioned, they lack their self-confidence, or they're just, you're looking for external validation? Are those the key factors driving it?
Those have definitely been the key factors from my experience and from a lot of the people pleasers that I've talked with or coached or helped. And again, usually it stems from childhood. It's usually something that happens in the family. Maybe it could be at school, but it's when we're young and our brains are ready to be molded like clay. And it just gets ingrained in us that we need that outside validation. And I think society does it as well through, sadly, social media. Although we love social media, we're on it right now. And through film and advertising and all those things, it doubles down on us fearing rejection and thus tries to make us more people pleasing.
That's actually very interesting. Thank you for explaining that, Kat. And I just want to ask you again, when there is people pleasing and when that is prevalent, how does that actually impact relationships, career growth, or productivity?
Oh, gosh. It can affect all of them. I'll take one at a time. For relationships, it can lead to a lot of resentment and burnout. And again, I'm speaking from experience from many moons of doing that. You end up with these unmet needs because you're constantly prioritizing this other person. It's this one-sided dynamic, and you're not able to be as authentic. But then you can only hold on to that mask for so long. You can't keep that up for an entire relationship. And actually, it happened to me, I think, 2 years ago. I was starting a relationship with someone and talking about how this has happened in the past. And they said, well, did you set that precedent? Did you do that for X amount of months? And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. I did. And so since then, I will see my knee-jerk reaction to be the caregiver or to avoid conflict. And I'll take a moment and think, no, wait. We need to set a precedent, but that is not how this will be. I need to be able to be authentic in this relationship.
Right.
And then I think in career, you know, it can limit your recognition because you're not great at self-advocacy. You're not assertive. So maybe they're not going to see you as a leader. You're hesitating to speak up. And so a lot of opportunities end up being missed. And then what I see the most, and again, what I've experienced is you have difficulty setting boundaries. So then you get role creep. You end up taking on basically two jobs instead of the one job you're paid to do. And you feel so overloaded because of it. And then I think that's the same sort of for productivity. You take on way too much. So you're constantly context switching. You waste a lot of time overthinking everything and rereading everything. And it's just a lot of emotional labor, and it can really drain your energy because of it.
So wonderfully spoken, Kat. And I completely echo with you for the things that you've said. Especially I can relate when you mention about the relationships and people pleasing, because I've seen if you're setting that precedent, or if you're thinking that, okay, I need validation for the work that I do. If you are in that realm and you have to please your partner, or if you have to please the person you're in a relationship with, that I don't think that relation has that authenticity that you want it to be. You cannot be your authentic self. And I think it's very important just to be yourself, you mentioned. And let the people, you know, decide if they like you the way you are.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You want them to like you for you. You want them falling in love with you. Or, you know, you want you to get that promotion, not this imaginary person you've made up that doesn't actually exist.
Indeed. And it doesn't stay that long. You know, even if you can carry on that mask for a certain time, it doesn't stay that way, because yourself at one time or other will definitely come in front in various circumstances.
So yeah.
How will you navigate that? So it's very important just for your own self-awareness, or for your own self-healing, healing of mind, just be yourself and let the other people decide if That is how the certain times there are things that maybe maybe there are some errors in yourself which you cannot yourself identify. And if the other person is providing you feedback, and if you think that is something you want to change or you want to achieve in yourself, maybe you can based on basis, but you don't have to be validating yourself all the time to other people, like, you have to do this, you have to do that. This is not how a relationship works.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people don't take the time to do that work. Honestly, I didn't do that work until probably just after lockdown. And you need to do that work to like yourself and to also realize that you're exceptionally capable. So you like yourself, so you don't need someone else to like you. You already think you're a delightful person. So right. In your personal relationships and then professionally, you know, you know that you're smart. You know that you're capable. You know that you're hardworking. Again, you know it. And so you don't need that external validation. So even if you don't get that promotion or if something doesn't go the way you hope, they can't take that away from you. That is still yours. You still know you're great and you can figure it out and you can learn.
Indeed. Very true. Can I ask you, so when people have this trait of people pleasing, how can they reframe these tendencies, these people-pleasing tendencies into strength?
I mean, as much as I am saying people-pleasing isn't a great thing, I do think it has given me some fabulous people skills. Because of it, I think I'm a lot better at reading people. Hmm. I think I have a lot more empathy because of that. And you're also, because of the overthinking, you're really great at thinking through a project, thinking about all the possibilities and all the variables that might come up. You tend to be a very caring person. You tend to be more nurturing. And you're really good at sort of talking down someone who's upset, at calming them down and trying to understand where they're coming from. So again, as much as I attempt to not people please, there are certain strengths within it that can really be used to connect with other people more.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's very helpful to know, because maybe if you have this trait, like people pleasing, and if you're feeling that this is holding you back, you can definitely, dear audiences, you know, how Kat mentioned, try to turn that tendencies into the strength that you can leverage. And because if the habit doesn't go away instantly, it goes away with time, but if you can leverage to become yourself better, that's always commendable. So thank you so much, Kat, for
sharing. Of course.
Can I ask you, what would be your advice for staying motivated in difficult times or tough times while we pass it?
I mean, for me, tough times are, for everybody, tough times are always going to happen. And this little phrase, I hear my mom's voice in my head whenever I am having a tough time. And I do. People see me as this, oh, Kat's always happy. And I'm generally happy. It's true. But I have ups and downs. I have sad days. I get seasonal depression. It's all a thing. But when there are tough times that happen, I think a really important thing to keep in mind is that this too shall pass. Whether it's good or bad, this too shall pass. So even if you're feeling in the depths of despair in this moment, it's going to change. It's going to get better. And for me, what's been most helpful is having a list of things. And I literally have a list in the other room when I am feeling like that. And these are tried and true things that make me feel better, or at least get me into a better path to feeling happier again if it's been a tough time.
Indeed, Kat, very important and valuable thing to know from you. And also, audiences, if you are going through a difficult time and if that difficulty is irreversible, that you cannot do anything to amend that, to make that go away, you can remember that time actually heals everything. So if you give that some time, just go through that process. And when, as time will pass, that thing will also go away at some point. So it's not something we can do it right away. Our brain is not like a computer.
Yes.
But we are like human being and physical being. So that you have to cope up to it. There is no much other way.
Slow, gentle progress, right?
Yeah, gentle progress indeed. And definitely you can, how Kat mentioned, you can just make a list of things that can keep you happy, that can keep you motivated, and focus on things that actually would help you to go through that process. Even if you want to keep your mind off it, having a set amount of things to do in your mind would be very helpful.
Yeah, having activities that bring you joy or make you happy. I personally love crafting. But even if you do want to work through it, I personally have found journaling to be great. Externalizing whatever it is, getting it down on paper, find it really helps work through it.
Very powerful tool indeed. Thank you so much for mentioning that.
Sure. Okay.
Journaling indeed. Very powerful. I know you actually help people in mastering difficult conversations. So I want to ask you some questions in that aspect, dear Kat. So what is your mindset shift when approaching with tough conversations?
I think if I could boil this down the most, I'd say when you're approaching that difficult conversation, think about it as you are just showing up to have this conversation to try to understand each other. You are trying to listen to this person to understand them more, not just to respond, not just to say whatever your piece is, and try to approach it as it's us against the problem instead of me against you. I think those are my two most powerful things with that.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. And again, can I ask you, while having difficult conversations, how can someone assert themselves without feeling like too much or too harsh?
Sure, sure. And as a recovering people pleaser, something I worry about all the time. But using I statements, instead of pointing the finger, when you do this, you're very mean or whatever it is, say I. So I have been struggling with something recently and I would love your help with it. It gets them off the defensive. It gets them realizing that you need help with something and it may be something you're struggling with together. But again, you're switching it to us against whatever the issue is. I'd love your help to figure this out. I'd love to understand where you're coming from. This is something that I'm really struggling with. I hope you can understand that. That phrase, I hope you can understand, is also a really beautiful way to make them more open to having a conversation and not make them feel like you're attacking them about something.
For sure, sure, Kat. And also how you mentioned that using the term us instead of I is that you're inviting someone or you're willing to work with someone to get that through. So having that companionship sometimes can also be really helpful and assertive as well.
Mm-hmm, so true.
And having and giving the other person expectation that, okay, maybe this is one of my difficulties that I'm having to understand. But if you understand that, maybe this process would make things better for me to cope up with. So yeah, really appreciate that suggestion. Can you share some strategies for navigating conversations with difficult or high-stake individuals, for example, executives or family members?
For sure. And it always cracks me up that executives and certain family members, maybe higher up family members, grandma, mom, dad, can give you the same amount of anxiety in a tough conversation.
Indeed. I have had this experience myself.
We've all been there. But whenever I see one of these conversations brewing or something that needs to happen, I used to delay it and put it off. Now I have sort of a set list of four things that I try to think about prior to or try to do to prepare myself. So one, I ground myself beforehand. So in an ideal world, I'll get to wherever this place is that we're going to have this conversation. And I try to have ideally 5 minutes, but even 1 minute to just breathe, be on my own, ground myself in this moment, take a few breaths. And then two, I always think about leading with curiosity instead of defensiveness. So like we talked about before, we want to make sure that we're not having a fight over something. We're leading with curiosity, trying to understand where they're coming from, their perspective, and how maybe we can figure something else out. Number three, I think you want to try to be clear and direct with what you're saying. Clear equals kind in my mind, but still have warmth. You don't want to be cold like a computer about it.
Yeah.
And then the fourth important thing is to, and you touched on this briefly also, to know what your sort of non-negotiables are. What are your boundaries? What what is the limit of where you'd be willing to go when you're trying to figure out what works with this person, and have that in your mind before.
For sure. Okay. And how you mentioned, like, thinking some of those things would actually signal to the other person that, because what you're saying through your words, it will come out to the other person, and the person will understand that there is awareness and there is care within you to understand that and to make that effort. So I think the other person would really appreciate it. Another thing I want to just mention for family members, when we are sometimes talking with our parents or someone who is a bit older, like our mom, dad, or grandma, one thing I also see that there are sometimes disagreements in thoughts, and this might be a reason due to their age, that different, because the time that they were in at their moment and the time that you're in now, it's very much different.
Yeah.
As with the technology and others. So there might be a few challenges there for them to understand. So if we can be a bit understandable of that, and just try to, you have to try to make them know the right thing, but maybe do it in a way that they actually understand at that, but helps them understand. So being considerate is always very kind and helpful.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. Like, having that understanding that this person has had their own experiences, has their own perspective. We can never truly understand everything that the person in front of us has been through. And so keeping that in mind, that the way they grew up, the way their parents treated them, the life that they had, might be very different to how we've grown up. And keeping that in mind, I think, keeps those conversations more productive.
Thank you so much, Kat, for those wonderful suggestions. I wanted to talk about authentic and confident communication.
Sure.
So can I ask you, what role does curiosity play in connecting with others in terms of authentic and confident communication?
Sure, sure. I mean, curiosity is my favorite thing, and I think it has improved all of my conversations. Because when you come to a conversation curious, it shifts from this judgmental mindset into a very open mindset. You're now showing up with whoever this person is in front of you, curious about them, wanting to learn about them, wanting to understand them.
See.
And also, when you're curious and you're asking thoughtful questions back because you want to find out about this person, it builds that psychological safety. It makes them feel, oh, this person is actually interested in me. Maybe I will tell them some real things about me. And when you treat it as a discovery instead of a performance, you can get to a lot juicier topics. I personally love deep conversation. I hate to talk about the weather and sports and things like that. And so being able to get to that discovery phase is so beautiful. And I've found that it's very disarming for them. Like, people tend to put down their defenses when you're truly curious about them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I have seen that as well. So another thing, while having both like routine or difficult conversations, we see like those conversations can go in different ways based on the concept or the topic that we are speaking of. And often those concepts or topic, when being spoke of, relates to emotional intelligence of the person who is doing that conversation. So can I ask you, how can emotional intelligence elevate how we handle both like routine and difficult conversations?
Well, much like curiosity, it's one of those very important topics. It's something I highly suggest people dive into. There's so much literature, there's courses. It's so important to have that, because it allows you to put yourself, or try to put yourself, a little bit more in their shoes and attempt to hear what it might be like from their perspective. Just like you talked about with the older family members, you know, try to listen to what's really being said, and not just the words, you know, using the information they're giving you with their body language, using the information from their tone can really change that. And when you also are looking internally, so emotional intelligence, yes, is going towards people and trying to understand what's happening with them, but noticing your own emotions, being self-reflective, noticing, ooh, I'm a little triggered by this, seeing that moment before you respond can really help you come from a better place and have you be a little bit more composed than if you're in a more high pressure situation. So emotional intelligence is the gold standard, the ideal when approaching a conversation with someone else, I'd say.
Thank you so much, Kat, for these wonderful advices. Really getting to learn a lot from you today. Can I ask you, when you speak to people, what are some of the quick tips that you provide them to immediately improve their communication?
There are a few main things that I talk about a lot in the content that I make, especially for networking, but it can work in any situation. So I'd say you want to pause before you speak. So just like we spoke about, take a moment. It's okay to think for a second before you start talking so that you know what you want to say. Try to use people's names as much. I've admittedly been very bad in this podcast at doing that. but people love it. It lights something up in their brain when you use their name. Mm-hmm. Cut the fluff. So as much as possible, try to cut out the ums and the ahs and the I thinks and the this and that. Try to get to the meat of the information that you're talking to this person about. Get curious with those open-ended questions. Try to dig into how they work, what's interesting for them, and what's happened with them. And then think about your body language as well. You want to have your body language reflecting or matching the words that you're saying. If I'm sitting here talking about open body language, you'll see my hands. If for those who are watching the video, my hands are open. I'm showing them often to say, hey, I'm a friend. Whereas if I wrap them around my body and I'm talking about how we should have open communication, I'm not congruent in the body language versus the words I'm using.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Kat. And I really appreciate how you mentioned body language, but also how you mentioned that when you're talking without using the filler words and that kind of thing. And even I can tell you the way you speak, you're very confident of the thing that you speak about. So if anyone, audiences, if you're looking to be work in the realm of public speaking, I think that is very important to keep mindful of, that whatever thing that you want to speak about, just have a clear idea and having that confidence to do that conversation. Also, how you mentioned about body language, it's really important that how our body language is when sometimes we're speaking to others, and oftentimes we don't be mindful of that. It's not like it's something very bad, but it's something that is signaling to the other person. For example, if you were in a meeting and if you're constantly moving your legs or something, the other person might feel that, okay, you may be a bit irritated, you're maybe bored in this meeting. Maybe that's not what's happening to you. Maybe it's just your thing that you want to move your feet.
Yeah, or you're tired and so you have the gym leg, as I call it.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you don't want to like signal that, but it's automatically happening. So sometimes it's very helpful to be mindful of things that our body actually expresses. When
What would you say is your one that you're guilty of that you try to put yourself in?
For sure. I think I'm the most guilty of just moving my legs around. That is why I brought that habit up. And mostly in offices that happens, that people doesn't see that bit much because it's under the table.
Right.
But you can see the movement that is going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try to avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. I find I touch my hair.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't even if I'm on, it'll just get in my face sometimes. But partially, I think when people are pacifying themselves, at least women will touch our hair to like calm ourselves. And so it's an interesting thing that I try to stop so much whenever possible, but I've now started noticing it in other people too.
Yeah, my wife always does that. So I have noticed that quite often. Indeed. Can I ask you, we are very end of the discussion in our podcast, but can I ask you about the advice that you provide for the people who chases knowledges? What advice do you have for leaders who struggle to delegate or trust their team's communication abilities?
Sure. I mean, it's something that a lot of people struggle with. I think a lot of leaders have a hard time letting go because they used to be the person doing it, let's say, and now they have to learn to delegate and learn to trust these people. But keep in mind that trust is grown It's not just given. So you want to sort of build that skill through exposure, slowly but surely giving this person small stakes tasks and then move up as you go. But one of the most important things, as we talked about earlier, clear is kind. So set clear expectations. Define the outcome super clearly. Not every step, just what is the outcome you want? And then give them the ability to then use their own brain and their own way to get to that outcome. And then try to coach instead of correct. So let's say they did a project and you have your own ideas of how they could improve. Instead, try asking, what do you think went well with this? How do you think you'd approach it differently next time? And see if they can catch those things themselves first. It's so much more helpful and it can be more powerful when you sort of coach that person into figuring it out themselves as opposed to just straight correcting them.
Very helpful advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And one last question I have for you is that how do you balance the pursuit of knowledge without avoiding burnout or over perfectionism? How we mentioned, like, highly perfectionist people have some traits. So how do you do that?
Yeah, difficult. I'm not going to lie. Probably my biggest life pursuit in many ways, because a constant balance. You are constantly trying to continue that exciting journey of personal development, which I love. And it does so much for me in so many ways. And as someone who wants to get all the juice out of life I can, I am constantly having to remind myself to not burn myself out, that there is only one me and I do need to rest, and learning to notice when you need to rest, when you probably shouldn't plan another social event or take on more tasks is really important. And a quote that I also have in the other room by my calendar is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. This is something that you would just have to slowly pace yourself through or you will burn yourself out. And instead of thinking about it as perfection, think about it as I'm trying to make progress. If I've leveled up even a little bit each month, that's wonderful. And I need to celebrate that. And with that, sort of two things that I try to think about is on my quest for knowledge and my quest to learn new things, I need to think about, yes, I want to learn it, but then I should be applying it before I add more to it.
Right. Okay.
Because there's so much knowledge out there and I would love to learn everything, but you know what? Let's apply it. You learn it better anyways. And then I've started setting these sort of goals instead of them being the premium perfect goals, which really don't exist. I set good enough goals. So how would this look easy? How could this be fun? And set those as my goals instead of these unachievable perfect goals.
Very helpful advices. And thank you so much, dear Kat, for sharing those with our audiences. And we really appreciate that we had this conversation today. I wanted to ask you a bit about the workshops that you do to support your clients. So can you kindly speak to those a bit about, so our audiences could get to know more?
Sure, sure. So right now I'm developing a live workshop on resilience. This is something I think, especially in the times we're in right now, that is important for people to build that muscle. And it is a muscle that you can build. I certainly was not always as resilient as I used to be, but it's something that I've worked very hard on and it has served me so well. It has made setbacks not feel as much like setbacks and more like learning experiences. And there's just ways to frame it in your mind that really help you to be able to move forward in a different way and not get down as much as maybe you used to over things not going the way that you had planned, maybe with your control enthusiasm there, as many perfectionists have it. And then I'm also working on one on authentic communication and boundaries, which, again, as we spoke about today, is something near and dear to my heart and something that, you know, people pleasers and perfectionists often struggle to do. So I'm excited to be rolling those out in the next few months.
Wonderful, Kat. And how can people like get in touch with you or enroll in these workshops?
Sure, sure. So they can come to the Knowledge Chasers website that you kindly have on the screen right now. They can find me on LinkedIn, Kat, and reach out directly. And I've also recently started a new Substack called Authentically Yours. So you can subscribe there to get bi-weekly updates. And from there, you know, also reach out. And I will be announcing those workshops when they come out everywhere, LinkedIn, Instagram, the website, the newsletter. So if you want to be in the loop, certainly go to any of those places and subscribe so that you can get those updates.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for letting your audiences know. And also, dear audiences, if you have any follow-up questions or if you want to know more about what CAD does, feel free to go to our website in activeaction.fm. And if you just search CAD's name with a K, K-A-T, you'll find her profile and it has links to the website that I've shown you and her socials. That is a way you can get in touch with her if CAD doesn't mind.
Of course.
Thank you so much, dear CAD, for speaking in my podcast today, sharing your words of wisdom about overcoming people pleasing, having difficult conversation and authentic communication perspectives as well. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Nasif. This was wonderful. I loved having this conversation with you and getting to hear about your perspective and your experiences. I always love these conversations to hear from someone else and hear how they experience these things as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kat. And I really wish you the best of luck with all your endeavors. And I hope to get in touch with you soon again at some point.
Wonderful. Best of luck to you as well.
Dear audiences, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll be with you next time again with another amazing guest, another amazing episode. And finally, if you do find our content valuable, please feel free to provide us a tip in our virtual tip jar at www.activeaction.fm/tip. Have a wonderful day. Stay active and take action. I'll meet you in the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.